All right, this is my book. It's called Opera Bouffe. It consists of 60 short prose poems. I'm going to read a prose poem and then give a slight pause to see where the break is and then go into the next one and plunge through all 60 of them. So here we go. Losing is the lugubriousness of Chopin. What's lost might be a seashell or a teacup or the bloody scalp of an Indian. It hardly matters. When you are lost, the heart recedes from exterior currents, too much in sync with itself, its groove vicissitudes. Each encounter, rather than revealing new rhythms, is experienced as a clangorous din, a pounding. The effect of this pounding is to push the heart deeper and deeper into pitiless darkness. The darkness is pitiless because it has no clear ending. The rhythms are pitiless because we do not know how they began. We find pity and it betrays us with a stray fondle. We squirm within ourselves to the sound of the devil's opera bouffe. You may stride streets like Oscar with tin drum, cracking glass with a solid shriek, taking Madonna's hostage, assaulting exhausted nurses lying prone on shag carpets. There are nurses and nurses. Some have carnations. You want to serve. Your hands are still masterful. Pluto sets Orpheus on your ass. Plucking out a minor seventh bridge, he holds you in legato thrall. Rhythms become streams of possible shoelace, slugs of 3 a.m. scotch, lust after thy neighbor's daughter, mooning on the lawn. The principle of sufficient reason has pinned you to a mattress and is coming inside you. You are a plantation officer after the lost war. Your cache of black carnations marks out a no-fly zone, bloody scalps of third wheels. You see how richly layered you are, but frosting is visible. It's not funny that you've left a body count. You're up in stiff urban trees. You've known unrest. Not that you don't harmonize with concrete, just that you mix concretely. There is recalcitrance in your Wellington boots, a blatant sellout in your dancing. China girls approach you in dank basements. Am I daft to see imbecility in mercy? Three men, one gesturing, address perfumes of Venus. Yes, I affirm certain deadness and disturbances of black jackets. No, I do not believe a sports jersey. Blue is a treasure. I have made up a song to go with a song of this chanteuse. What silly trills, love of languor, appreciation of origins of apples. The core is not to be ditched. The apple is not to be pulled. If you were a yellow balloon in tall, leaning trees, I'd be a girl in purple impaled between pillars. If you were a cup of finished ice cream, I'd be a brown-eyed moon goddess. Is the human heart a Parisian kitchen? Are lamb chops better than avarice? Are you churned like butter from Dantian depths? Am I warm and willful as a shop girl's thighs, stuck with grasses to a farmer's boots? Lunatics hover on branches, pushing me down into sleep. Swans at the window, watching hail fall in diagonal darts. Your railings border me, yet toss my words up into gleaming squares. Priests look back and forth, veiny hands. Shadows strike the angels from their perch. Somewhere inside is a reference. This is all a bridge between a verse and chorus. That's how the sky exudes its musk right before breaking down and buying a ranch. You find my earrings glamorous, and they were left by my bed by a lover who learned from porn. She was always crabby. It's always brown-hewn burglars sending drain-you vibes through Ethernet. Not that one can internalize mind scabs, but that the brown-minded must spread shit. What kind of tumescence gets consummated via these kinks? What ribald, ruby-red jumps lie from these booby traps? Nothing but antiquated horse corsets passing murals, gun-slung brothers sprung tight from Rite Aid, orange vodka eaters. I fit into this like a mentholated Siggy in a Presbyterian church, which is to say, the city has heroes ducking under awnings, semen smells in tightly packed alleys, particularities. What does he say, the porridge-hearted victor, as troops rub ermine on his thighs? He is not only hermaphroditic, he complains of being too much like Cleopatra. He is only a bruised pear, yet words come out of him, tunes replay in his head like flies on ice cream. I am him as a fish is a bicycle, but a fish on a bicycle would be too much, like henna-dyed Shakespearean joustabouts. All minor chords are dreadful when prolonged by Valium. Not that I condescend to be anything but minor. Not that I'd give myself an A. Actually, I would, but then not every poem I like begins, "Roses are red, violets are blue." I understand newness. I understand membranes. I understand that a bald pate does not signify superior understanding. I can't give you anything, and vice versa. Go back to the opening. It is simply bereavement that leads us here to these images. It is a matter of fucking upstairs, getting the maids wet. What you see is what you see. Cadavers in copses. Perfectly good mushrooms. A tent to shelter redheads. Don't accuse yourself of blasphemy for marching sideways, crab-like, towards exit signs. Any kind of soft-shoe swagger remains inappropriate. Stay where shadows press themselves in upon you. Stay with the purple riders and their sage buttons. Stay safe within danger. Oh, for the strength to strip a stripper. Isn't that wanted by the forces swirling in eddies around the Delaware? Isn't that what becomes material? Not if you think one night can be micro, all kinds of crows. Not if what you really want is to pick at my liver. Let's face it, you were never more than a soul pygmy. You were a soul gypsy by yourself, to yourself. We learn as life elongates that personal feelings about persons are not important. We learn that we are all pygmies. Your failure was in measuring yourself against ants, as if a beam and a magnifying glass could cure you. You should be so lucky. I can't help but influence pigeons in the cream cheese, you know what I mean. When you eat something that's bigger than your head, you get messy. It's been that way since a flock of seagulls pitched tents in New Mexico. They were just camping, they said. Anyway, I detonate. I feel it is best to confess right at the beginning. What I confess is a salad at a fast food restaurant, of which I feel dispossessed. Things go on. Things continue. It's all about systems. It's all about seagulls. Personally, I don't care if a baseball penetrated your basement window. All I see is a framework of jagged glass. I don't much like it, nor do I consider Klonopin an appropriate substitute for Independence Day. If on alternate Fridays you remember to do the funky chicken, so much the better. What I want to see is you coming out of cum. I want to see geysers, all sorts, licorice, now and laters. I want to see you move past Debussy into Mozart. You know, play faster or something. You're all out to lunch, you Amherst wafer eaters. You forgot that Billy the Kid, unlike Christ, was not resurrected. The pictures you leave on lampposts signify low self-esteem. Your cozy brasserie is not to be bushwhacked. As for me, I have moved beyond Ten of Swords mentalities. Not that I count you out. I just don't know what bag you are zipped into. It looks not very fur-lined to me. I don't know who my friends want. I could be a French-speaking gopher. I could grope every freckle on a redhead's behind. I could fickle myself in plaster or plastic. Of the many possibilities, I feel closest to mother's voices please touching. Concrete's red brick wings soaring up through Baudelaire's tendonitis. I ache with him. I like you, yes, but it's serious, kid. Don't imagine you can hide your backyard in a magnolia tree's bark-shedding trunk. If your passion arrives in a non-Christian context, say, thank you, Buddha. You will never lack conundrums as long as line after line after line demands to be born like a good kidney bean. Being stalked by a stingray in slap-happy crematoriums is not a simple matter. Deadness develops, makes lists, checks things off. You don't have keeps adding up to gaggles of slugs underneath. That night I had your heart attack, I was alone, moon-streaked, somnolent. There is a soulnet bigger than the one we know. There are things you can catch, Piscean, Aquarian, Scorpion. Back on that sun-glassed, sin-spattered street, back into my eager, tense, ready nodding, back into that interconnected nexus, emitting blue-purple sparks over every picture in the paper, every poem in the picture, every pruned, festooned image in the poem. I've got your back. First thing in the morning, I hear about a mob mad dick wearing a black velvet hood all over Washington, stomping weedy ground in SS boots. This is a man who sings Gregorian chants as he pulls hair trigger shitloads from his arse. I don't connect, and my non-connection includes running 4 miles along the scudless Schuylkill. I see an edgy apocalypse in each half-mile marker, a prod at each lemonade stand, a clown class dragging tired skin across street bones. As you grow older, oldness grows like a fungus around your extremities. Now I sit and write this opera, and it appears like a walrus or otter saying, I am that I. There is no place in business for me. I was born to endlessness of any kind, of the kind that breathes fire dragging gold through nostrils of untamed street-corner harmonies. Despite this fact, I like trees. I could go camping if I weren't so marshmallow soft, such a Hercules of perpetually moving inaction. Or I could just go camp. I can't make sense of anything anymore, not even riding the trolley past a gleaming, soot-speckled mini-mart in morning's ardent sunshine. Every passenger inhabits a non-Prada paradise, where what you have is simply a matter of cool composure, fertile lassitude, flea markets, and the plethora of minuscule trinkets therein. Every grainy facet floods the eye with color, but blackness, my dear, is the ground we walk on. Blackness is the door to rebirth. I want to come out and be colorless. I want to come out and give ashram orders to a meditating world. Order itself is beyond me. I do not give a damn for any rankings, as I know preeminence is an old European myth meant to pickle pens and keyboards. I have judged myself, found myself a person, found myself not an artist, but an art is, an ink otter, a bubble-blown frog hopped up on saying personal things backwards and masked. I sing this scintillating aria not for the bullnuts in the peanut gallery, but for all readers with nuts. Keep your snake tail eating language for language guinea pigs. Keep your pug face for the aesthete tax-collecting slobberheads. I've hewn a new key from a new chicken-scented, turkey-basted variety of froth. I know damn well what you've hewn. Hew off. Assuming I remain a tag-labeled individual, Naught retains but to white out any yellows. Apply patches of loose color to squarely composed areas. Brushstroke a rua, romi, red heart, beaten like a time-rusted gong, onto each firmament that rises and sets on canvases arrayed, gray-grained. This I will do with no uneasiness. What must be shown is mandatory as income tax. What's between me and you is this flower wall in a rose-fringed corner of some invisible, curtained garden. I am very far away from what knowing is. My friends and I are groping to create a science of imaginary solutions, one of which is Pepto-Bismol, repeated in vats and poured over two copulating, sweat-drenched animals emitting squeals in octaves. The history of popcorn is a minor third that can be squelched by intense bed thuds. Every mattress is a major third, every home stretch a suspended fourth, every new Kama Sutra position a bent note in the Dorian mode. There is no gray, it's wild. I say we, I mean the people counting ravens. I mean the circle-minded carnival otters holding down forts. We know who we are, but are very far from knowing who planted what. I say use the turnips to write, make a cake with teeth-peeled carrots, but save the lettuce. We should hold on to the village green until a new harrow is made, which can turn us over, on Proustian sickbeds, to enumerate levels and layers of cockroaches, clinging to life, courting Keith Richards. There is an engraving on the corner of your left cheek, placed there by me, which speaks of dead queens, frilly shirts, stoned wanderers. What I mean is, I am capable of bestowing silver stencil decorations on you, and will continue to do so for as long as I can sharpen my tools along the edges of your fire escape. We have forged, in the smithy of our souls, a country recreated from borders of what was dreamed between us, rose delicate, so much investigation. There is naught left to shimmy but little diamond-hooded imps sprung out from tips of our fingers, ground down to astral sparks when light is brought down, channeled through ritual. Things tank. Things fall apart, centers cannot hold, and the only second coming you can count on you can download for free on the internet. I am personally involved in sunbreaks following storms, scandals of moss and weeds, kickback payments over pots of world-weary gumbo, so much meshigas. What I am looking for is an arpeggio including history, a vibrato that is not quiet, an aria, in the real language of men. If you weren't so scandal happy, I might consider depositing a ton of bricks between your carburetor and fan belt. The fact is, darling, that my opera is not soap. All kinds of buffoonery have meaning in this microcosmic environment, like goldfish-eating, trollop-reading directors of electricity. I am confident that I will not be left alone. I am also sure that the fishmonger, backwards-going, Polonius-type psychos will get stuck behind me. Eat me, I will say to them, and invite them to look, touch, fondle, grope the thin air around my queen's shins. I have danced on pins and needles since Socrates realized semantics were a peach of a smash of a Pop-Tart. I have encompassed centuries. I ride in gondolas. I celebrate Lent. I have coffee with Balzac. If you want to surround me with anything but freedom, Dante has opened up a specific ring in Hades just for you. It is wall-shaped like a wallpapered nursery. There are malicious spirits on baseball cards. You become gum. Out there in the wider world, automatons spit shards, bullets, videotapes, all wound to slit and reveal vulnerable redness. They are beyond laughter. The air they breathe is flesh they bite into. The beds they sleep in are nailed, and they are nailed, and consciousness becomes a loose, rusty, crud-tinged nail. I wonder that I am anxious and laugh at myself for wondering. What place for Don Rickles in a boot camp of the soul? Harder! Harder, I say to myself, doing breaststroke laps in the deep end of brine vats. It is brave to be old so that one may become young. You can do double dismounts like a cat on pot. You can move beyond the dead man hopping phenomenon. When you sit in a half lotus, your lolling tongue rests comfortably on old metaphors. Suddenly the moon is enough. Suddenly flowers are worth looking at and you are a person. There is splendor in just walking around. There is air to breathe. Who knows, you might be able to stay a person for more than a moment. With luck, axioms become trees. Climb them. I sing to her in raspy, whiskey-voiced bliss. It's a honky-tonk song with considerable tonal variation. Not far from 12-bar blues, it's got a turnaround and a bridge, including four beats on the relative minor. You might mistake this section for Earth Angel, and in fact, that's what she is. The city's squeal and tremor sings along with me. Rev, snarl, strum. We make a hallelujah chorus for a new Iron Age. I am seeing Mercury go retrograde in a fly's anus. There is a delay in delivering my poetry to the old wooden bucket. Yet I roll with the punches. Just yesterday I gathered geraniums to give to madmen. I ate a liver sausage sandwich perched in grass. I found myself rooted in history. Spare me your stories of insubstantial fluff. Spare me the stale victuals, the I'm-on-top rhetoric. I have seen a caduceus in the sky pointing to a pile of my papers. I am wanted by the FBI and the Central Intuitive Agency. I project to the back row. Though life be a confectionery lemon, I suck it. There is backwards masking mixed into the mixtape I sent you. Satan himself says he is himself, but you need a turntable to hear it. The experience of hearing Satan's voice backwards may be absorptive for you. It was for me. I immediately fornicated with three high priestesses. I did a line of cocaine off a shag carpet, put on an Andy Gibb t-shirt, and wandered around looking for snowcaps. I became possessed by a demon and I rose off the bed. I astral projected into the kitchen, and my head was a Necco wafer. I was a cadaver in a cops until a cop arrested me. I was a convict in a jumpsuit until I jumped bail. I was a hitchhiker under galactic moondust until I saw the sun. I was the sun as it rose, and I shone on my dead self. I was a cops under the sun. I was a convict and a cops. I was all of this until I learned that you are what you see. I was what I saw until I saw that my eyes were shut. I opened my eyes to a kind of vacancy. I opened my arms to delinquency. I do not see anything now, and it rings. I did it to myself. I rolled down hills. I twirled in circles. I partook of strange drugs. It was on a trip of this kind that I met Sonny Jim, who claimed to have many minds. I never believed him, still don't. Why should I? I was playing a lute in the court of Ferdinand. I was being courtly. I was displaying all the sprezzatura that I could. I did not reckon that it was actually 2007. I remained strangely unaware that electricity had been discovered. I picked up a daffodil. It became a cell phone. I picked up a quill. It became a bottle of NyQuil. I realized that I was in the wrong century. I would have to live through hundreds of years to get to where I was. I would have to spontaneously regenerate. I saw my lute become a Stratocaster. I saw the court become the Bowery Ballroom. I only knew two scales, and I played them every which way. I heard deafening applause. I saw Ferdinand wearing Speedos. I have made a habit of courting buffoons. I have listened to a British waitress ask me, "Would you like a scone or a buffoon?" I have eaten scones and buffoons together with cheese and cherry preserves. I have felt that scones and buffoons are somehow related, especially where Tennyson is concerned. I have felt Tennyson to be both a scone and a buffoon. I am ready, finally, to eat a scone alone. I no longer need buffoons in my life. I have covered Freebird for the last time. I am ready to be free. I am ready to cherry. I often feel surrounded by lightweights. I frequently shine a light on their lightness, only to find blackness hidden in their cuffs. I hear them, lightweight and dark, pronouncing on the eligibility of Cretans. I see them applauding a show of daft penguins. I drink with them, and they outdrink me. I talk with them, and they outtalk me. I write alone, and I have found no other way to sing. I box them simply by breathing. There was a girl on a hill. She was shrouded by a wash of shadow. In the background, a steeple peeked through blue. There were clotted sky arteries. Light was moving on the hill and on the girl. She remained fixed. A sound like thunder made jarring waves. She was facing me. I was floating above a different hill. The picture before me was like a face. The girl knelt where a mouth should have been. There I was, in bed, in a toy store. I had a fever. I was also a girl in the corner who wanted to get in bed with me. There was a blonde apparition, a loudmouth, pacing a bit like Patton. I felt strained from being me and also being someone else. In retrospect, it seems strange that no toys were visible. It is also curious that, in the dream, I happened to be a famous musician. No determinate ending presented itself. Patton might have become a stuffed animal. I can't remember. Something was said that meant war. Don't toy with me. I spotted a bluebird. I got in an amorous tussle. I saw a thousand hues, and each was differently used. She's got soul. I felt it was a matter of vibes. The lightweights and toy stores were behind me. The world was reduced to a back seat. The bluebird was a woman, and the woman was more than just flying. Each word had a depth and a weight. Each look had a color and a shape. Each moment that passed was on the way home. Our sound? Pianissimo. What has been lost thus far? It's just tar on a highway bound for ocean. Or it's the migratory flight of a carrier pigeon. It is all things that move and breathe, coalesced into sound. It is Odette's tune in Swan's mind. It is octaves repeated in a funhouse mirror until a decibel level is reached that a dog alone may hear. I am the dog that hears, the dog that conducts, the dog that puts bones on tables. The bones are all gone under a hill. The dogs are all gone under a footlight. There are no footnotes. Here is where a climax should be, in a closet, freshly washed, on a hanger. There is a crescendo in stasis, like a Buddha as housemaid. So, no shattered glass in this opera. Maria, callous, smokes a post-coital cigarette. Her legs dangle over the stage's edge. She has been pounded. She, too, has left a body count. She has been on the hill. She has been a mouth, a bluebird, a curtain. We are all purple riders, she says, blowing smoke. We are all tender-hearted as eunuchs, small as mixtapes. Maria, the devil has entered you. Things have become what they are not. The opera-goers are restless. You had better produce more than ashes. You had better throw out your stubs. It's encore time. I follow Maria to the stage door. I walk with her through a flower wall. Tender hearts are made to be broken, she says. I want your ton of bricks. I think that Maria is promiscuous. I think I am in bed with Baudelaire and Jean Duval. I think many confused thoughts. Meanwhile, Maria has taken out a caduceus. She caresses it. She calls it many names. Somehow it is attached to me. Somehow it is wired to feel what I feel. We lay in a half lotus, we lay in dank repose. Maria has already done this. I wonder if this amounts to La Boheme for weirdos. Skin is our funny toy store. We buy it. You spent 47 poems looking for me, Maria says. You were talking in expansive, fluorescent Crayola circles. All I can say is I remember poundings and baseball cards and tons of bricks. I remember daftness and deftness disappearing. I remember gum, bruises, abusing ice cubes. I know that I had to dream an opera to really sing. I know I had to dream singing to really write. As for fluorescence, those crayons were always my favorites anyway. If the color is off, it's because my set collapsed, if not into nullity, then into plurality. I remember a city and a story. I am many stories up. It is left to Maria to return me to my duties. Your song is a newly filled crescent moon, she says, gesturing to my eyes where notes flow into. Maria has made a hologram of herself for me. She has strapped it to my hands like cuffs. She has left me off stage, recounting when I found a way of being in tune with rows of chairs. Am I a tired old man? Am I mysteriously young? Or is it that youth and old age both have equal leverage in song, like major and minor? Whatever stage of life has been born into me, I know now that song cannot be spared when life and death adhere. I know life and death, I know the contours of them. They are bedsheets to me. They do not wind around, but lay beneath each performance. They are the reason why buffoons must be rebuffed, why dodos must be done in. They are no kind of beggar's banquet. Adherence is my tribute to this interminable fretboard, this double-stopped coil. I am beginning an inventory. I am in possession of songs. I am in possession of labor and love's labors lost. I am capable of experiencing mini-marts. I inhabit an operatic landscape. I have loved a girl. I have also loved a Maria. I am noticing a strange poverty and richness. I am cleaning up the stage for this to happen again. I am counting on scones to butter themselves. I am haunted by remorse for missed notes. I am nonetheless proud to have escaped the flatted fifth, El Diablo in Musica. I am lucky because the devil paid for my stage props. I have torn up our contract. I have contacted my attorney. The dressing room is filled with flowers. I wash off makeup, remove stage garments, congregate with various chorus members. I have moved from I to we. The opera is the story of all of our lives. When it ends, our lives may be recreated. This is possible because we know of what we consist. We are dust and dreams and druthers and so many cockroaches. No one will stop anytime soon. No one will give up rays of moon. No one will forget the feelings under footlights. Adrenaline permeates our conversations. There is an after-show party to be attended. There are hookups waiting for all of us. I am walking streets arm in arm with a woman who designs props. It feels like the first mild day in March. I give in to idleness, thinking of Maria. Maria is sweet as reality. Reality is sweet as dreams, and I have learned to what extent dreams are real. They may not be solid as a cast iron pot, but they are enough. I feel this strongly as I kiss Miss Props. I feel this even more strongly as she reaches around my neck as if to throttle me. Oh no, I think. Is this when I have to start singing again? Alas, she only wants to feel me more deeply. It is the hour of feeling when singing must cease. Miss Props, jealous, wants to know about Maria. She, too, wants a ton of bricks. A song pops into my head, just a germ, and I know that another opera is beginning as night bleeds into dawn. Never you mind, I say. You are as pain-worthy as she, as precious in your meddling, as diligent in your scavenger hunt. I feel a C chord changing to E minor, then an A minor changing to G, and I realize what eternal return means. It means that every fresh breath of life plants seeds that must die. It means that the death of music is the birth of tragedy that must be expressed musically. It means all this fooling around must be paid for in the oven of creation. Every kiss must be minted. I am writing again and losing. I am lost in a funhouse maze. I must make it a new opera or die trying. I have had lovers of the last opera. Now I must find lovers of an opera to come. What will subsist from opera to opera? It is a sense that our world is out of tune and that the artist must set it in order. A sense that the artist is, in fact, an officer in an army of puffins and commands an elite puffin brigade. Finally, the recognition that songs must be created, because too much silence is composed of dust and ash. I must create a staged underworld to prevent the actual underworld from pummeling my life. I must beat Pluto at his own flaccidly undulant game. I score with every chord change. If only I felt that writing operas could change everything. If only I felt that life, concentrated into song, could be fruit juice for thirsty joggers. Alas, it is not so. Our open mouths will continue to be unfilled. Open legs will continue to accept dross. Things that close, chemical, mineral, and otherwise, will remain closed. Nothing will change. I can only do one thing. Make nothing change beautifully. I am no longer haunted by echoes of Puccini. I know that all music is good, being music. I know that our most real riches are built of loss. I have become a giant of losing. I am simply monstrous and monstrously fond of the earth and its million daily deaths. I am consoled by no exit. I am dead to deadness, alive to death and life, and directed by street signs. Yet I do not yield. This has been something. This has been more than cadaverous. This has been a seeded fruit moved by wind into a reclining position. This has been a ways and a means, an end and a beginning, a pedestrian's right to cross streets in Vienna. This has given me a wing-tipped prowling carnivore, and I am meat as others are. As I move on, I am stricken with a half-nervous, half-ebullient sense of eternal return. What is coming has already come and will come again, plaintive as human nightingales trained for five octaves. What is coming back to the loss that will be gained perpetually. Oh, flip sides of paradox, how inscrutable and sphinx-like you seem, until a bullet cord pierces you, until an arpeggio elicits an earth-shattering purr. I can think of no afterthought. I can only say, here I have been. Music must bleed. Let it. It will bleed into more and more of itself. It will spontaneously regenerate, nimble as an ice-walking fox in a blasted landscape. It will care for itself. I fall back like an exhausted lover, spent and famished. I am a cactus tree, full and hollow. I am one.